Battlefield to ballot box, how far will Trump go to get Netanyahu elected again? From demanding Israel's president grant the prime minister a pardon, to a potential escalation with Iran, how much harder can Trump campaign for Netanyahu to win Israel's elections, do later this year? But despite the trajectory, a kerfuffle or worse could change the script. By Delia Shendlin. As the Middle East stands on the brink of escalation with Iran, it's natural for frightened folks in Israel to ruminate on the relationship between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. The president and the prime minister are close enough that Netanyahu might just help tip the U.S. towards a new war, or not. What happens now matters a great deal for Israel, not only as a potential battlefield, but at the ballot box. It's an election year, and Netanyahu loves to campaign on his excellent statesmanship, particularly his perfect friendship with Trump. These personalized relationships are the foundation of foreign policy for populists, who disdain rules and principles. For them, diplomacy is chemistry, and Netanyahu has been effectively telling Israel that no one can win America's patronage and gifts like him. Vote for someone else and you are undermining Israel's global alliances. But will Bibi win Trump's cachet, higher even than in his first term, after Israelis overwhelmingly credit Trump for the release of the hostages held by Hamas, for his election campaign this time? The answer seems like a simple yes, but their relationship has had rocky moments. This is not just because Trump is erratic, at times their interests have simply diverged. Consider a sampling from Trump's first term. Trump won lavish presents on Netanyahu, recognition of Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, and with one leg out of the Oval Office, presenting a sweetheart peace deal that pissed off Palestinians and winked at annexation for Israel. Netanyahu would have gone right ahead with the last part, but paused formally declaring sovereignty over the West Bank because of Trump's greatest gift of all, the Abraham Accords. Then things got tougher between them. After Netanyahu acknowledged that Joe Biden had won the 2020 election, the two didn't speak for a long time. Israeli journalist Barak Ravid even revealed that Trump used the F-word against him. When Trump took office again, the relationship got more complicated. Trump pushed a Gaza ceasefire through in early 2025, which Netanyahu had tried to avoid, and he violated it 2 months later. There was a terrible, no good, very bad phase in the spring of 2025. Trump humiliated Netanyahu by summoning him to D.C., then blindsided him by announcing in their joint press conference that he was opening negotiations with Iran. He bombed the Houthis in Yemen when U.S.-Israel interests converged but stopped suddenly when he'd had enough and embraced Syria's new leader well before Israel was ready for either of those. Some saw the combination of all these events as Trump's resounding slap in the face of Netanyahu. On the other hand, Trump let Netanyahu bomb Iran last June and even joined the war. The second ceasefire he eventually pushed through on Gaza gave the best possible terms to Israel. And of course, Trump has personally campaigned for a pardon for Netanyahu's corruption trial, even smearing Israel's president to do so. Israel's beloved satire show Eretz Neadaret spoofed the Trump-Netanyahu meeting last week by cloning Trump. One leering version wanted war with Iran, one version wanted to make peace. For Israeli politics, one might also ask, which Netanyahu-Trump relationship will be the dominant version in Israel's election year? Will Trump do everything to help Netanyahu get elected? Or will he be the kiss of death if their interests go astray close to elections? Avoidance strategy. Netanyahu definitely, and Trump presumably, want to avoid the appearance of daylight ahead of Israel's elections. They are likely to reach for the solution Trump knows best, instead of clashing interests, quid pro quos. Trump loves a good transaction. For example, Zvi Burrell, Haaretz's formidable Middle East analyst, has argued that Trump has leverage over Netanyahu on Iran. In other words, if Trump goes with Netanyahu's preference for negotiation failure and a war, he can demand a list of concessions from Netanyahu in return, that Israel ease up on the Rafah crossing for Palestinians to and from Gaza, and allow the Palestinian Technocratic Transitional Committee into Gaza from Cairo. He could even pressure Netanyahu to accept Turkish or Qatari participation in an international force there, wrote Burrell. Trump could try to rein in West Bank annexation and demand Israeli withdrawal from its positions in Syrian and Lebanese territory. But there's a rub. Netanyahu has a leg to stand on too, if not exactly leverage. Netanyahu's bargaining power comes from the fact that Trump clearly appreciates him and has an interest in the historic and current-day alliance with Israel. Trump has political interests in keeping America's right-wing pro-Israel political camps, domestic lobbies, and constituencies on his side. Stepping back from pure politics, America may still see Israel's old qualitative military edge as a strategic asset in the Middle East, although given how Israel can antagonize countries that Trump also likes and needs, think Israel bombing Qatar last September, there are downsides to Israel's military adventurism too. As a result, the quid pro quo possibilities run in both directions. Trump wants to buy Netanyahu's acquiescence to his Iran strategy, especially in the event that he retreats from war in favor of a negotiated deal, however unlikely that appears at present. In such a case, Netanyahu will probably present his own list of demands, if he hasn't already, that Trump continue his enthusiastic campaign for a pardon in his trials, which comes so naturally to Trump anyway. Netanyahu would also likely demand the reverse of Borrell's list, "I'll go along with your lead on Iran, whether it's a deal or a U.S.-compliant role in any war, in which Israel does not go out of line, if you stay quiet while I annex the West Bank." Given the near silence on this issue after their last meeting, it's conceivable that this quid pro quo is already underway, just as the annexation measures adopted by Israel's security cabinet are already underway. Netanyahu is also limping along with Trump's Gaza Phase 2 plans, to the chagrin of forces within his own party and coalition partners. In return, he may ask for Trump's silent acquiescence to Israel not budging from its current hold over more than half of Gaza. Its daily strikes, which have killed around 600 Palestinians since the ceasefire began in October, and a complacent attitude towards Israel's attack at will tactics and presence in Lebanon and Syria. These men are the quid pro quo kings, and with such a solid list of interests to divvy up, they could massage their divisions to make each other look good. Will it work or backfire? Can Trump really push Netanyahu to victory? After all, this is a leader who literally lost public support during a war, which I've personally never seen, then recovered but hit a ceiling even after his most stunning triumphs in the Middle East arena, assassinating Hamas and Hezbollah leaders, severely weakening the latter, and the June war with Iran. What new gifts could top the Iran war as a diplomatic coup for the Israeli voters, so deeply locked into their pro or anti-Netanyahu sentiment, over so many years and election cycles? It's hard to think of what more Trump could possibly do that could make Netanyahu win. But Netanyahu, beware. With such a delicate transactional balance, one slip could cause a sudden altercation, and a negative turn with the U.S. president could cost him dearly. In 1992, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir found that slavish commitment to settlements nearly cost him critical U.S. loan guarantees under President George H.W. Bush. The Israeli voters' fear of diplomatic deterioration contributed to Shamir's electoral downfall. A kerfuffle with Trump could hand an easy cudgel to the world's most feckless opposition. Those parties could tie any such tension into Netanyahu presiding over a plunge of support for Israel in the American public, a collapse among younger Americans and deeply negative views towards Netanyahu himself among American Jews, not to mention the long-lost erstwhile bipartisan consensus on Israel. Consider that free advice. Thank you for your attention to this matter.